Parsons, St. Helena, California, March 28, 1909. Elder Parsons, 40, Haywood Street, Asheville, North Carolina. Dear brother, I have received and read your letter. It gives me great pleasure to read of instances where the Lord has used children and youth to present to others the truth in its simplicity. I have been encouraged many times by seeing the Lord's will worked out in unexpected ways. The experience mentioned in your letter illustrates one of the ways in which the Lord works in giving the message of truth to those who are ready to receive it. The Holy Spirit was working through the young girl who was willing to be led and guided by the Spirit of God. All along the way, we shall learn of such instances. The Lord will call the children of today, even as he called the child Samuel, to make known his message of truth to the people. Representations have been made to me, showing that the Lord will carry out his plans through a variety of ways and instruments. It is not alone the most talented, not alone those who hold high positions of trust, or are the most highly educated from a worldly point of view, whom the Lord uses to do his grand and holy work of soul saving. He will use simple means. He will use many who have had few advantages to help in carrying forward his work. He will, by the use of simple means, bring those who possess property and lands to a belief of the truth, and these will be influenced to become the Lord's helping hand in the advancement of his work. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. The Savior suffered abuse and cruelty at the hands of men who hated the truth. He gave his precious life that he might save the souls who were perishing for the need of a Savior. Oh, that it were in the hearts of all who have heard and received the word of truth to live the truth as it is in Jesus. All who take part in the work of the Lord are to be led and guided by him. Every human ambition is to be merged in Jesus Christ. Our trust is to be in one who is head over all things. The cross must occupy the central place, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believed in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verses 16-18. Christ's manner of rule and government is to be established to counterwork the works of Satan and to bring the world back to its loyalty to God. The Prince of Heaven, he who was one with the Father, gave himself that he might save the fallen race. Satan is actively at work to defeat his purposes. But Christ says, "Where Satan has set his throne, there will I establish my cross. The prince of evil shall be cast out, and I will become the center of a world redeemed." True conversion to the message of present truth embraces conversion to the principles of health reform. "I, if I be lifted up," said Christ, "will draw all men unto me." John 12, verse 32. Men who in their unconverted state are controlled by human ambitions and human passions will, through faith in the sacrifice made in their behalf, embrace the terms of discipleship. Human ambitions will be sacrificed, evil passions will be converted. Capabilities which through Satan's influence have been employed to counterwork all good will be turned into channels for the upbuilding of that which once they destroyed. Satan is so deceiving men that many believe they are doing right in opposing the law of Jehovah. The enemy of God has led them to look upon his righteous law as an arbitrary requirement. All who unite on the side of righteousness in the conflict of good against evil will come into decided conflict with satanic forces. But this should not discourage the servant of God. The Lord declares, My spirit shall strengthen every right principle in its opposition to evil. I will give power to every soul who will work on the side of righteousness and truth. I have a work for all to do who love me, and who will hold aloft the banner of truth. And heavenly angels will be near to aid every human agency that is sanctified through the truth. All who preserve strict loyalty to God will do a righteous work in the earth in saving perishing souls.
There are few among those who claim to be Christians who realize how deceptive are the wiles of Satan and are prepared to oppose them firmly. Christ has promised his Spirit to go with those who will yield to his workings and who will be loyal in opposing unrighteousness in every form. He has given to every human agent a work to do, that he may learn how to work in union with his Redeemer and in connection with heaven. It is the duty of every true Christian to unite the utmost powers of his being with the efforts of him who made his life an example to mankind of what human agencies may accomplish in his name. The Lord bears long with man's perversity and depravity. He is a long-suffering God. The transgressor is very obstinate in his rebellion. But could the impenitent soul be impressed with the long-suffering of God? Every barrier would be broken down. Christ came to our world in human form that he might reveal to the human race the divine nature in contrast with the sinful human nature. He clothed his divinity with humanity and was tempted in all points, yet without sin. In all his earthly experience, he did not lose one jot or tittle of his purity. By faith in Christ, humanity may grasp the divinity that was revealed in his life and character. Through faith in him, they may obtain grace essential to make them partakers of the divine nature and to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. The voice of God speaks to every soul, saying, "Return to your center, God." To every man, the invitation is given. In his human life, Christ lived the law of God, thus making it possible for men of every nation and in every clime, under the sorest temptation, to live a life of true obedience. Accepting God as their Creator and Christ as their Redeemer, they receive the Holy Spirit of obedience that was revealed in the life of Him who came to make known to men the Father. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. It was Satan's design to bring Christ under his control. But in order to do this, he must disqualify him to stand against temptation. Christ submitted to all the temptations brought against him, but never would he give the enemy an advantage over him by entering into controversy. He kept ever to the affirmative, never repeating the words of Satan, or allowing himself to be drawn into argument with the foe. Thus he gave the enemy no chance to misinterpret his words and thus misrepresent him. I thank the Lord that the way is opening for you to teach the message of a soon coming Savior to the people in Asheville. May the Lord imbue all the workers with his Spirit. I am thankful to hear about the new church and parsonage, and I am glad that provision has been made for the colored people to have a house of worship and for the education of their children. I am also pleased to know that you have with you Elder Strann of Washington, and thankful for the words of commendation you write regarding him, that he loves the truth with all his heart. God has work for such men. Tell Brother Strann that I received his greeting. I praise the Lord that our brother is being blessed by the greatest of all physicians, the one who never lost a case. Oh, what a helper we have in Jesus! My brother, the longing you have for the gentleness of Christ in every conflict is evidence that the Spirit of God is working in your life. This is the grace we must all have if we would obtain the victory. All who ask in faith will be granted this most precious attribute. The Savior loves you, and he will give you of his abundance if you will seek him in faith. You write in regard to Professor Brownsberger.
you may safely link up with him, for he will be a helper in the Lord to encourage and strengthen you. I have confidence in Brother Brownsberger. He is one who has humbled his heart before God, and he will prove a wise counselor. He loves the truth, and the Lord loves Brother Brownsberger. May his wife also unite to be a helper in her own family and in the church. We leave St. Helena shortly to begin our journey to Washington. We shall visit several of our churches on the way. I shall hope to meet you at some of our gatherings. I am very grateful to God for the help he has raised up for the work of building up the old waste places. Again and again, the Lord has worked to provide for emergencies that have arisen among his people. Let us not be slack, but in faith grasp the promises which are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. I must close this letter. May the Lord continue to bless you, is my prayer. Every soul who will work in harmony with the Lord, he will enable to do a strong, united work that will make men laborers together with God.
Postscript. It has been represented to me that a work must shortly be begun in a favorable place in San Diego, and workers selected to labor there who will work wisely and follow the methods of Christ. About 7 miles from the city of San Diego, our Paradise Valley Sanitarium is situated. Dr. Cummings and his wife, and Brother Harmon Lindsay, as business manager, are carrying the responsibilities of this institution. They are well qualified for their work. These workers have been heavily burdened because some who have had means invested in the sanitarium have withdrawn their money. Sister Gotzian has $15,000 in this enterprise, and I, $2,500. We would be glad if others felt interested to join us in the carrying forward of the Lord's work through this instrumentality. We secured the Paradise Valley Sanitarium for a sum of money much below its original cost. Because of the scarcity of water, which was causing orchards to die, the former owners had become discouraged and desired to sell. As soon as we secured possession of the place, we determined to dig for water. I was sick at the time and had gone to the sanitarium for rest and treatment. One evening, Brother Palmer and W.C. White came to my room, saying that after digging about 90 feet, they had struck a stream of water as large as a man's fist. The next morning early, they brought the information that there was 15 feet of water in the well. Oh, how grateful we were for this treasure of water thus supplied to us. Since this institution has come into our possession, the population of San Diego has greatly increased. The people are coming to understand better the advantages of its healthful climate. For many months, the Lord has been impressing my mind with the importance of doing wise, earnest missionary work for the people of San Diego and Coronado. Here are people gathered from all countries and climes. We must work wisely for them. The Paradise Valley Sanitarium, situated so near to this city, lays increased obligations upon us to do true missionary work in its vicinity. Our work in every line is to demonstrate the saving influence of the cross. Many who have come to the Paradise Valley Sanitarium have been greatly blessed. Several have been won to the truth. I was instructed that we must educate the people in comprehensive and distinct lines. We must treat the sick by rational methods. There is a great, grand work to be done in letting the light shine in clear rays to this increasing population.